Well, we've got an awesome privilege to have Kathy Walters with us. How many of you have heard Kathy before? Hands up high. Okay, that's a handful. How many have not heard Kathy before? Wow. Okay, well, you guys are in for a treat. Because she just carries something really precious that will set you free. And you can sometimes just be sitting there in your seat, just listening. And she's just telling stories, and next thing, all this religion's getting messed up around your life and broken off and set free. So it's just a real privilege to have her here. You know, it's not every day that we get Kathy Walters in Cromwell, and so I just thank you guys for coming. I'm just going to hand over to Kathy now, and she's going to say some things, and then I'm going to be back later.
Good evening. Have to have my cup of tea. I'm going to share a little bit because Nathan's got some things tonight to share with you. Anyway, so I'm going to share a little bit tonight. Tomorrow, I'm going to talk about faith, and I'm going to teach you about angels again because I haven't taught you that for a while around here. You should understand about the angels, shouldn't you? They're part of your life. Yes? They're no? They're not? There aren't angels in New Zealand? No? But the angels are part of your life, actually. You know, and most Christians don't understand the part that angels play, and you should, because they minister to you. And they minister with you. So you should understand about that. You know, sometimes when I say I'm going to talk about angels, people get that kind of look, you know, like... And, you know, it's like, oh, well, we mustn't talk about angels. But the Bible talks about angels a lot, so... and also, you know, people think, oh, we mustn't worship angels. Well, God's angels don't let you worship them. So that's not an issue, is it? If an angel came in here tonight and wanted us to worship him, I think we know he wasn't from God. Doesn't take a great deal of discernment, folks. I mean, if you have to pray about it, I'm worried about you. So, but you should understand what the part that angels play, because... They do minister to you, they minister in your ministry too. And everyone in here has a ministry because we're all able ministers of the new covenant. So everyone has some kind of ministry, is that right? It might manifest in different ways, but we all have something from God to share, is that right? I think this is Margaret. Say hi, Margaret. Margaret and Russell are so wonderful to me when I come to New Zealand. And I really couldn't do what I do without them. I would not be able to do it because they take care of me. They drive me everywhere. Margaret helps me every place. Her husband drives and drives. I probably drive them batty sometimes. But, you know, it's their investment into New Zealand and into me and into you. So there's different things you can invest in. You know, you need to invest in New Zealand. Invest in your own area. You know, when things are happening, God's doing something, the conference is not invest in them because you want everything to spread where you are. Is that right? And God does bring people in. I mean, he takes people out and he brings people in for a purpose because he likes mix and match. You know, he mixes up with the Australians, with the Americans and the English and the Indian and the, you know, he has to like, God likes stew, Holy Ghost stew. Don't you love it? You only get those conferences and there's people from like everywhere. It's awesome. So anyway, I'm going to share a few things that have been happening to me. I've got to have my cup of tea, excuse me. Because this very kind lady went to get it for me. No anointing without tea, especially in New Zealand. So you can't do this in America. I live in America. You can't ask someone to make you a cup of tea. You would get lukewarm water with like a tea bag floating in it. I have a theory about that, you see. When the Americans threw the tea in the harbour, that brought a curse on America. They've never been able to make tea ever since. But it's true. Anyway, it's true. When I arrived... Oh, I talked to, a lot of you know, A lot of you know that Bob Jones, he was like my dad. Spiritually, he taught me about most everything I know about the seer anointing and everything. So I had a very close relationship with him. And but you all know he died last year. I don't know if you know this part, though. How many of you love the supernatural? You wouldn't be here, really, would you, if you did? With somebody like me. How many of you love the joy? You know, my husband tells people, if you've got the joy, at least tell your face about it. Anyway, but some of you probably don't know this. The day that Bob Jones died, you'll know who Bob is, right? Yeah. The day that he died, I believe it was 8:20 in the morning, Valentine's Day, wasn't it, last year? 8:20 in the morning, okay? And Bonnie was there, right there with him when he went. But did you know that, I think it was at 10 o'clock, it was 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock, I think it was 10 o'clock, he walked into the hospital director's room and gave him some messages. He said, could you write down these messages for some people? And he wrote them all down. Three or four men wrote them all down. He didn't know that Bob died at 8:20. Now, this guy, he's a Christian, but he wasn't spirit-filled. So he, absolutely freaked out. But actually, Bob actually didn't leave until that evening. He left his body, but he didn't actually leave and go to heaven until the evening because he visited his sons and daughters. And I was one of them. Came to my house at 6 o'clock and just looked. It was like he was just checking. And then he suddenly, you just felt, you know those things by the Spirit. He just was gone. So it was pretty awesome. Anyway, so just before I came over here, I was talking to a prophet, another prophet, who's very close to Bob, very close to him. And this guy got hold of me through Sid Roth. He asked Sid Roth for my phone number. And Sid said, is it okay? I said, yeah. So I ended up talking to this guy just as I was coming. Now, this guy did not know I was coming to New Zealand. So I was chatting to him on the phone. I mean, I was thinking, well, it's just like talking to Bob. It really was, the same kind of spirit. And he suddenly said to me, oh, God's been giving me some things about New Zealand. I said, really? He said, yes. I said, well, I'm going to New Zealand next week or 2 weeks or whatever. So I said, what is it that he gave you? So he said, tell them New Zealand's going green. You see, and I thought, oh, no, those green people, you know. So he said, no, it's going to go green. It's going to be new life and new move and rain and, you know, green grass and everything. Then he said, and that's going to bring a new zeal into New Zealand. And then later on he said, it will knock out some of the old crusty religious. You know, when the new springs up, it kind of knocks some of that out the way, doesn't it? So I want that to spring up in me and knock some of the old, you know, crusty stuff away. So he gave me that, and then he said, while I'm over here, there'll be an anointing for fingers, hands, and feet. So if you've got anything wrong with your fingers, hands, and feet in these meetings, I believe you can get healed. Well, you can get healed of other things too. But that's the word he had. And did he give me anything else? He texted me something. Oh, yeah, okay. No, that wasn't from him, though. But when I was, we were driving down to Wellington. I love driving to Wellington because you get to see so much. It's so beautiful. So I'm driving and I suddenly saw, I felt like I saw it come from the sky. And it was like a mantle. And it was light blue. And it was like light velvet. And you know that soft velvet? It was light blue and it was beautiful light blue and it was velvet. And it came down and it was kind of like hovering over New Zealand. Whoa. And I said, oh, you know, to the Lord, what is that? Because we were driving. He said, that's Elijah's mantle. For New Zealand. Now, Elijah's mantle, Elijah, you know, Elijah must come. That's what Jesus said, Elijah must come first. So, you know, the Elijah anointing, Elijah mantle, first of all, to me, is boldness, isn't it? And the supernatural, because he sure was a supernatural guy, and he was very bold. And, you know, it says that restore the heart of the children to the fathers. But I believe that also means restore the heart of the people back to God. And so, and it will show me, you know, remind me of boldness and faith. Well, he ran away at one time, but mostly lived in faith. And then when the vision, I saw it there, the Lord said to me, it's if you see it, you can have it. Which is really what Elijah said to Elisha. He said, I want what you got. I want that. And he said, if you see it, you can have it. Or he said, if you see me go, you can have it. But that's what God said, if you see it, you can have it. So I'm going to talk about this tomorrow a bit. You know, I'm not going to take up all the time tonight because Nathan's got some things to share. But there's a way to receive that mantle. See, it's not automatic. It's not just going to fall on you, whether you like it or not. We have to receive when God gives something. Is that right? You have to receive it and start walking in it, you see. But it's just so exciting. It's just really awesome. I saw some people just go like that. You know, because if God gives you something, if he shares something or shows you something, he gives you something, you have to actually get it, don't you? You can't say that's interesting, I write that in my Bible. That's not going to do anything. You have to actually own it and make it mine. Got it. You have to own it. It's mine, you see. And don't let anyone take it away from you. That happens, you know, like sometimes people are like in my conferences, they talk to angels, go in chariots or whatever, and they go back to their group or their church, and they start talking about, well, I went in a chariot, you know, I talked to angels, I had a heavenly visitation, and people are like, who do you think you are? You're not Benny Hinn, you know, and so you have to, what God gives you, you have to hang on to it, don't you? Have to own it and make it mine. So I'll leave that with you. I want to share something else too. It's kind of, see, I believe that God is going to take a lot of things out of the Bible and manifest them. Now, we're used to seeing the manifestations, the gifts of the Spirit, right? Healing, miracles. That's the manifestations of the presence of God, is it not? There's healing, miracles, signs, wonders. How many of you love signs and wonders? Of course you do. That's your dad. People say, oh, you shouldn't follow signs and wonders. I say, why not? That's my dad. If he's doing something, I want to be there. I want to see. Wilder the better. So I think religion is the worst enemy of the church. I mean the real church. Because it's a substitute, isn't it? I mean, supposing you went and you bought your wife a beautiful diamond ring. Supposing you paid $50,000 or whatever. You got a beautiful diamond ring and afterwards you found out it was not a real diamond. Oh, wouldn't you be upset? You see, so a lot of things sometimes that we receive, that we have received in the past, it's actually been a substitute. I've done it myself. I've got something and afterwards found out, oh, that's not right, that wasn't real. That's not right. I want the real thing. I want everything that God's got. And you know what? It's going to mess with my mindsets. Because when I came into revival, I had a lot of religious mindsets. You know, I was full of theology. My pastor was the greatest expository preacher in the world. I was up to here in theology and Calvinism and fundamentalism and Puritanism and, you know, everything. And boy, did I need to have to get delivered. And I'll tell you about that tomorrow. I got delivered from 8 religious spirits in one day. Then some more. Because they're like a little chain gang. You know, and I'll tell you about it. We don't want those, do we? Who wants that? Religious spirits aren't your friends. hate to tell you. They're not your, you're not pets. But, you know, people sometimes keep their religious spirits like little pets because it's comfortable there. It's comfortable there. It doesn't stretch you. You know, it fits into your box. Fits into your box, comfort zone. So guess what's happening? God's breaking your box. Woo! That's because he wants to do something. And he's not limited to you. He's not limited to your ability. Woo! You're limited by your ability, but he's not limited to your ability. See, he's not looking for your brains or your intellect. He's not really impressed by that. A cabbage will do for a head. A cabbage will do for a head. He's just looking for someone that's available. Sam's so available. I'll tell you something else. You're so qualified. When Jesus died and rose again, he qualified you 100%. So I'm so qualified. Yeah, and you listen, you can't get unqualified. Because you can't unqualify from something you never qualified for. So you're qualified and available. All you can do is have adventures. See, there's a lot of... what is the month now? April, is it? There's so many suddenlies left this year, aren't there? Very many. So I'm at the door. See, doors can open suddenly, can't they? Doors can open suddenly, so you have to be at the door. I tell people, you know, things are moving, things are happening. God's moving. It's so awesome. And I tell people this, look, you got one shot down here. That's it. You got one life. You're not coming back as a hamster or something. You got one shot. So you might as well have fun. You might as well have some adventures. You know, sort of. I think Godfrey Birtle's got a song, hasn't he? No more boring meetings. Well, you get boring meetings with boring people, so. But this lady at a conference... Conference I was at. She came to me after. She said, "Kathy, I love coming to your conferences. I have a lot of fun." She said, "My church is very boring." She said, "We sing a song about we're toiling in the kingdom." I said, "Oh, it sounds painful." She said, "Well, it is really." She said, "It's very boring. Should I fall asleep?" I said, "Well, it's boring because you're boring." She looked at me. I said, "Well, you're sitting there. You're part of it. You're part of the board." So she said, "What shall I do?" I said, "I don't know. Prophesy." She said, "Oh, they won't like it." I said, "Well, it won't be boring, you know." And I saw this lady a few months later. Another conference, she was all bright eyed and bushy tailed, you know. So she said, I've got to talk to you. She said, "I did what you said." She said, "The next week, when the choir finished and the pastor was walking up the steps, she said, I stood up and prophesied." She said, "And these deacons came and escorted me out." I said, "That's the most exciting thing that ever happened there. You know, they called each other for 2 weeks about that." The pastor asked me not to go back. I said, "Well, they're hoping secretly. Those people, they're secretly hoping you might go back because, you know." And he said, "Oh, I go to this fellowship now and we prophesy and, you know, pray for each other and everything." Anyway. So, yeah, God's shaking things up. Isn't that good? Shake things up in New Zealand so that green stuff can, you know, start growing up and get new life and everything. I want to tell you one more thing before I sit down and let Nathan share with you tonight. And then tomorrow, like I said, I'm going to talk about angels and the supernatural and chariots and all that kind of good stuff. Because that's your inheritance. In fact, say this after me. The realm of the spirit. Supernatural realm. The angels. Heavenly visitations. The chariots of God and all that good stuff is meant to be normal. 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 Part of my life. Yeah, and it is too, isn't it? Because when Jesus died and rose again, you know, he didn't say, you know, I came, but you might have religion and have more of it. So, well, that's his quality of life, which was the realm of the Holy Ghost. Is that right? And that God doesn't have, you know, it's not for some people and not others. That's not true. It's for everybody. It's our inheritance. Some people receive it and some don't, though. You know, some people don't receive. Some people do. So it's not a question of God not giving us everything. It's a question of what we want to receive. So I want everything. I do. I want everything. It's all right to be a little piggy in the spirit. I was at this meeting a while ago. I'm sure this happened to everybody in the ministry, you know, but the God was moving. It was powerful. It was great. And I was praying for people in this line for like ages and ages. Like I thought, there wasn't this many people in the meeting. And I suddenly thought, haven't I seen you before a couple of times? So people just couldn't get to the end of the line. Oh, but what can you say, you know? Because I already said it's okay to be a piggy. Anyway, okay, I want to share this with you. Because like I said, things, God's taking some things, you know, that are in the Word. You know, have you got your Bible with you tonight? Hold your Bible up. If you haven't got your Bible, put your hand on someone else's. You know, people hold up their cell phone these days, don't they? Especially like in Singapore. Say, devil, see this? Mine! Mine, mine, mine! Turn to your neighbour and say, honey, see this? Mine! Mine, mine, mine! Because there's nothing in here that I can't have. The Holy Spirit came to get it out of the book and into my life. Because I am God's advertisement. You are, you see, and God gets glory when what? When you receive the promise. So anyway, so this is what I want to share, because I've seen God, you know, taking things and just opening them up, and the supernatural realm, it's got to become normal for us. Is that right? Because there has to be signs and wonders around us. There has to be signs and wonders that accompany you, because you are an advertisement. Whether you like it or not, you know, the only way not to be an advertisement is don't tell anyone you're a Christian. Because as soon as you do, people are kind of watching you a little bit, aren't they? So, like, get something good. Because those people out there are not in the least bit interested in your religion. You know, if you've got some religion, keep it to yourself, really. Because those people are not interested. But if you've got something good, they might want that. So, I want to remind you, your first calling is to enjoy God. Sorry. You don't have to work at it and struggle and strive and carry on and beat yourself up all the time. Your first calling is to enjoy God. Anyway, I want to tell you this that happened to me. Because I'm looking for more and more supernatural expressions of God. Because it's my dad. And people around are affected. If something's really happening, you know, unsaved people don't mind. It's the Christians that mind. You know, it's the Christians that get upset, not the unsaved people. I mean, I did this conference in South Carolina. Somebody put up a big website, don't go to those meetings with Kathy Walters because they laugh. And the church is not much better. The meetings were packed. But I thought, who would put that? Only Christians would say that, you know. Somebody wouldn't say, don't go to the meeting because they laugh. Who would say that? Who would say that? But you know, laughter is actually a war. The Holy Spirit laughter is a warfare weapon. That's why the devil doesn't like it. Don't go to a church that doesn't like the laughter. That's dumb. That's like shooting yourself in the foot. Because the laughter is a warfare weapon. God looks at his enemies and halves them in derision. See, what happens with the laughter is your spirit begins to pick up on a victory that's happening. That's what that is. Don't knock the laughter. It's like, I'm sure you've all done this. You've been you're ministering to someone or praying for them or something, you know, and they're telling you all this stuff. It's terrible. And you start laughing. And they're looking like, oh, what's wrong with you? Don't worry about it, honey, because something good is happening. And it's true. You might not see anything. You might not hear anything. But something is happening in the spirit realm. I've experienced it many times. Anyway, I want to tell you this. Shall I, do you want me to stop and I'll tell it tomorrow? Let me tell you this quick. When I came into Sydney, this was 2 years ago, came into Sydney Airport, because I wanted to start believing for some things. Ooh, that's nice tea. Wasn't made by anybody American, I can tell you. I came into Sydney Airport, okay? I had 3 cases. So I had a case full of CDs and books and everything. Now, I had one time when they stopped me, because I had 3 cases. Why have you got 3 cases? So I've got, well, what kind of CD? What are you going to do with the CDs? We have our own CDs in Australia. Why don't you sell Australian CDs? You know, like. So they opened it, because they saw Supernatural, Glory Realm, Holy Spirit. So then they thought I was a cult, you see. So they interrogated me for about 20 minutes. I convinced them I wasn't a cult, and I was going to a church thing, so it was okay. But anyway, I came in and I said to God, you know what, I don't want to go through this deal with the security about my cases, because I was tired. I just flew in. And so I said, I don't want to go through that stuff, you know, with my cases. So this lady came up to me, one of the security ladies. She said, let me see your customs declaration. So I showed it to her. I thought, oh, they're watching me. She singled me out. She put this big red line. And she said, go through that door in the corner. Yes, so I thought, oh, they're waiting for me. Because I know Sydney Airport well. You know, I'm in and out there all the time. I know Sydney Airport well, especially the international baggage claim area. So I thought, well, I didn't know there was a door. But anyway, so I went over to the door in the corner, went through the door, and I was in the main terminal. Totally bypassed all the security, everything, you see. I thought, whoa, thank you, God. So I came over here to New Zealand. Then I went back into the same baggage claim, and I was so happy because I know what to do, you see. I can get my cart. I'm going to go to the, I know where I was, and I'm going to go through that door in the corner. So I went and got my car, I went over there. Guess what? There was no door at all. No door. So I'm like, I know I came here because I know it, you know what I mean? So I was a bit ticked off in the sense that, like, I got back in this line, long line, you know, when 10 flights arrive. And I said to God, now look, God, I don't know about this making doors and then taking them away, because it doesn't seem very fair. You see, so I'm in this line. And I said, but anyway, well, whatever. This guy comes up to me and he said, you and you, this other lady, I don't know who she was, he said, go through that door there. You see? So that lady said, what's up? And I said, I don't know. He said, they pointed us right in front of me. I knew where I was. So we got our carts, we went through that door, we're in the main terminal. You see? So I said, well, okay, God. Well, this is great. Now I have 2 doors that weren't there before, you see? And God said to me, I said, but why? You know, don't take him away. Don't take it away again. He said, but I am the door. I said, well, I know you're the door, you know, into heaven. You're the door, so like salvation, I am the door. So he said, no, I am the door. I said, well, I know you're the door. But he said, no, I can be a door. He said, I can be a door anywhere. You see, and I'm like, okay, so I kind of got it. But then this last time I came into Sydney, I went and checked because I thought, you know, I'm going to go check this out. So I went to the corner, no door, it's just wall. I went to where I went. I know where I went because I know where I was standing. You know what I mean? There is no door. It's the wall like that wall. So I thought, I got back in the line and I said, okay, God, are you going to find a way for me to pass this, bypass this security, because they're keeping people a long time here? So I stood in the line. This guy came over to me. I knew who he was. He just said, I said, pardon? He said, what's he doing? He said, I said, oh, what? He said, so I looked around, there was a door. Like about this much away where you are, you see. So I thought, that's not really a door. I don't think that's really a door. But he said, like, see, I thought, who is this guy? You see. Anyway, so I thought, well, okay, I'll just try it. And I got in my car. I actually had to open the door, push the handle, and I pushed the cart through. I was in the main terminal at the side. So what I'm saying is God wants to take things out of the spirit realm. What we consider is the spirit realm. It is the spirit realm. But you know what? He's going to manifest a lot more of himself and of his power through the body of Christ. He'll surprise you, but then he'll surprise other people through you. Because sometimes you get to be the sign and the wonder. We all have signs and wonders, yeah? Sometimes you get to be the sign and the wonder. And I'll tell you about that tomorrow. Sign him up. Whatever. What, say, Jesus. Whatever. I'm available. He heard you. So that means also you have to prosper. So we'll get some cows tomorrow or release some prosperity because you have things to do and places to go. Is that true? Say me, I myself have places to go and things to do. You see, so God, yes, dropping a lot of blessings and a lot of things because we are the demonstration. You get to be the key for the demonstration, and God wants to confirm the word that you speak. Is that right? Okay, I love you. I'm going to pray for everyone tomorrow. I'm going to minister to you all day, morning and afternoon, then pray for everybody. And we'll get some cows. I'll teach you about some stuff and my inheritance. Mine. Okay, Nathan, thank you for letting me take up your time. Oh, can I just share something with you? Sorry, it'll be 2 minutes. No, listen, when I was here before, you New Zealand duckies, so I call people duckies, because duckies love the water, you guys told me to make these things. I call them jumps. What do you call them? USB stick. You're the ones that suggested this. So I put lots of CDs and books on these USBs. What? Things. Jumps. I call them jumps. So, which idea? So there's a piece of paper out there that tells you what's on each, the purple one, what's on the blue one, all my stuff. And, you know, I have these, you know, Faith and Angels CDs and Spiritual Strategies, the Glory Realm. It's all good stuff. I believe that when things go in your ears, good things go in your ears, it knocks out the negative things that have got in your ears. Because a lot of Christians, they've, you know, some negative religious stuff has gone in their ears. And it sowed seeds at the back of your mind. And that all has to go in order for God to do what he wants to do now. Woo! So you can jump in at the beginning, or you can jump in the tail end. You know, you can sit and observe. But I tell you what, it's getting God's doing some amazing, awesome things. So outside your box. But you're also open. So I have some other sheets. I mean, there's, you know, check out my book table. There's some good stuff out there. Margaret will tell you what's what. And I'll see you in the morning, 10 o'clock. I'll be here. Listen to Nathan. I'm going to go in a chariot or something.